Okay. My name is Ashton Haddon. I am 17 years old. Today is November 29th, and I'm speaking with Jim Dempsey, who is my grandpa. We are recording this interview in Wintergreen, Virginia.
My name is Jim Dempsey, and I am Ashton's grandpa. And I am 77 years of age.
Okay. So, who do you feel most grateful for in your life?
I feel most grateful for two daughters, Cynthia and Cheryl, and three granddaughters, Blake, Chandler, and Ashton.
That's very nice. Is there anyone who you'll always remember from your life? Like, anyone you've met?
That I have met?
Yeah, anyone you've met who you'll just always remember.
A gentleman that I met years ago named Lloyd Long. That's who I think I would remember.
Why him specifically?
He became a very special friend 49 years ago and is still my friend, and I see him maybe every other month, at least once every other month.
Do you like make a point to see him all the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have lunch together at a restaurant.
That's nice. I didn't know that. Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories with him?
I would say the happiest moment I would say would be the very first time I met him, and because of our conversation, which we both discovered we had very much in common, and we became what I call lifelong friends. He is my number one best friend.
Speaking of meeting people, how did you meet Grim Susie?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
How did you meet Grandma Susie?
How did I meet Susie?
Mm-hmm.
In a dance hall. We both love music and love to dance, and I met her in a dance hall and many, many years ago, and we still dance today.
I go out dancing a lot?
Yes, go out dancing a lot.
Do you have a certain place you go to all the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain place, several places that we go to a lot that I've gone to before I knew her.
Did you introduce her to places?
I'm sorry?
Did you introduce her to a bunch of places? And
several. Not a bunch, but I'll say three anyway.
Do y'all have a certain day that you always go dancing?
It's usually just on a Friday night, but we don't go near as much as we used to, but we go, if we go, it's on a Friday night. And then there's one place we go once a year in the country for the weekend.
Okay. So you have two daughters. Are you proud of who they've become?
I have been proud of them since they were born, and yes, I'm very, very proud of how they have become, yes.
What was mom like as a kid?
As a kid?
A child? Like my age, actually.
The word perfect is not even enough. I don't think anyone could have been more lucky than me to have had Cynthia as my first daughter and known her at a young age, as many years as I did. And knowing her now that she's grown and has children of her own and witnessed how well she has raised them.
So you think we turned out pretty good?
Her?
We, us, the grandchildren.
The grandchildren?
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for better grandchildren either. I'm not around them near as much as I would like to be. But when I am, and what I know about them from what their mother has told me and their dad, it's just a great family. And I'm so happy that I had a part in it.
What about your parents? Like, were you close with them, your mom?
Yes, I'm lucky in that respect also because I had the same parents all my life. Neither one of them, they never split up and never remarried or anything. I had them constantly. My mother is, I have to say, my mother, being me being her son, and sons are supposed to be closer to their mother, and I believe that because I was very, very, very close to her. And my dad was great also. He helped me, and between the two of them, they brought me up what I think is the right way to be brought up. And I hope that, I know that so many people who know me and knew them knows that they are why I turned out like I did. And I'm very thankful for that.
What were you like younger?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like to always repeat this and say it, but my great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mother, mm-hmm, and my dad have all said I was the most perfect son, perfect little boy that mm-hmm anyone could have. And I hope that was true. I hope they weren't just being
buttering you up.
I hope it was. So that's all I can say. I guess I was a good boy.
Did you do like what you thought you would do as a, like, people my age are always asked, what do you want to do when you're older? Did you do what you thought you wanted to do, or did that change throughout your life?
You mean as a profession?
Like as a job and as just job? A dream?
Yes and no. I mean, I was lucky that between them encouraging me and paying somewhat the cost of going to a college, as well as helping me exceed in a sport which paid 99% of my college, I graduated with an engineering degree, not just in one engineering field but six or seven engineering fields that was included in my degree, my major. And I in my life have worked in I have worked in every one of those fields. Did I like it? I guess I did at the time, so enough to stay in it and keep doing it. But then I lost a job with the largest engineering and construction company in the world in 1985, and had opportunities to do other things, which I did, and I seemed to excel in those too. Actually saying that I can't say I enjoyed any of them 100%, but I did what I studied to do in school, and I must have done all right because I made a living for my wife and children, mm-hmm. and myself for all these years, and I'm still able to pay the bills somehow. So yes, I guess I must have enjoyed it enough.
So what about baseball? Because I know you played baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah. What happened with that? Tell me the story.
I had the chance to play pro ball, mm-hmm. right out of high school. My mom and dad and my coach met with a scout my last game in high school underneath the bleachers and offered me a contract and a check. And again, I always considered my mom and dad's opinions and advice. And my dad was a very hard, he was in the construction field and worked very hard his entire life to support his wife, my mom, and me. And he didn't want me to have to work that hard as he had. He wanted me to have what he called a better life and get an education. So that he told me, I'd rather you did not take this contract. So that's why I didn't go and try. It would have been going to a lower class C ball, they called it. And they look at you for maybe 2 or 3 years there to see how you do. I pitched. And so I didn't do that at their advice. And on one hand, I wish I had of. And on the other hand, I'm not disturbed about it. And I'm not upset because I didn't do it. Because as I mentioned, I was still able to get good jobs and make a living. And so, but I will say that baseball is the only thing that I ever liked more than 100% because I was good at it because of my coaches and my dad. And I loved it. And I've never done anything better than throw a baseball. It's the only thing in my life that I've ever done really, really good. And I have memorabilia of things that I gathered in those years of playing. I still have baseballs that I pitched perfect games that all my teammates signed. I have newspaper articles in all three papers of the Houston area as being the top pitcher in the city of Houston out of all the high schools at that time, and there were 10 or 12. So I'm just, it's the only thing I've ever done well, really well.
You're proud of?
Hmm?
You're proud of it?
Very, very. I wish I could do it all over again. And I probably would have, I don't know that I would have made it in the pro leagues because of my size, but as far as my pitching ability, I could throw a ball better than most in high school, better than most in college. And when I watch the pros play it today, I think I could have made it.
You don't fully regret not doing it?
I'm sorry?
You don't fully regret not doing it?
No, no. I don't fully regret it. But I still like to think I could have done it.
How did you feel at the time when, like, your parents said that you shouldn't take the contract? Were you, like, mad at them, or did you just accept it?
I was not mad at them at all. Again, I always honored their advice. And, I mean, I was probably disappointed a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then over these years, after I've thought about it, I think it was probably the right thing to do, based on what I know now about the sport and other things that are needed for you to really be competitive. Oh, and I think I could have competed, but I don't know that I could have competed at the level that's needed in today's game. Mm-hmm. But no, I was not mad. I was down for 3 or 4 days, you know, really thinking about it, and felt bad. But after that, no, I don't regret not doing it. On one hand. On the other, I do.
So baseball was like a passion of yours?
Yes, very much so.
Do you have any other passions, like now?
Well, as I sit here talking to Ashton, who I know shares a sport that I wish I had have started when I was her age. I snow skied for 42 years in Colorado, Utah, Canada, France once, New Mexico, and I went from a beginner to an advanced intermediate. I never was an expert, but I went up through the levels. And being born and raised here in Texas in the flatlands, you know, I wasn't like most people who lived in Denver, Colorado, who could go skiing every weekend or every other week or every month. In my case, was only once a year. But I trained 2 months in advance doing exercises to strengthen my legs and use the muscles that you most use when you're coming down a mountain. In the upper thighs and the knee and the joints of your bones and all of that, it can be a grueling exercise if you put anything into it, and I put a lot into it, just like I had all my other sports. I competed in a downhill race, but the slalom course when I was 55. Years of age. NASTAR was the organization who gave these contests in Colorado once a year. And when I was 55, it was between the ages of 55 and 58 men. And you were awarded a gold, a silver, and a bronze medal, not like the ones in the Olympics, but it was a big deal. There was a pro who set the time going down first, and then you came out of the gates that you tripped when you left up there, and you were timed. And whoever had the shortest time is the one who won the gold, and the next shortest, is so on. Out of 73 men between the ages of 55 and 58, I won the silver. I came in second place. They wanted me to run it again, but I refused because that's the fastest I ever skied, and it scared me to death, and I didn't do it.
It was good one time.
And the local TV stations from Denver This was in Denver, Colorado. The local TV stations, people were there filming the event. And me and the other two who won the medals were on TV that night. And they took a picture of all three of us going around the flags, the poles. And I still have that picture today with my medal. So that's probably the second dearest thing that I wish I was 20 years of age again and was starting all over. And each year out of those 43 years that I skied, every the first day, every day, I would take a lesson over again. And I believe in doing that. If I was going again today, I would have a person who teaches watch me, so he could tell me, give me, correct me what I'm doing wrong, and give me ideas how to do it right. For the sole reason, it lessens the chance of you hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can really hurt yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not careful and you're not doing it like it's supposed to be done. But I learned real fast. They moved me up the third day of a week. I went for a week and I was a beginner. I'd never been on skis in my life. And I went on the bunny course, the beginners. And they took me out of that after about 4 hours and advanced me into the next level. And I did that for 2 days. And then they moved me up one more notch from a beginner to advanced beginner, and then to the middle. I forget what the middle was called. And then I went to an intermediate. And I skied intermediate for probably 8 or 10 years. And then they moved me up to advanced intermediate, which means I got on a little bit steeper course with a lot more curves and some bumps. And then I accidentally skied a black course one time, and I made it. I did it, but it was too much. It's work. It's too much work.
And yeah, I didn't.
I wanted to enjoy the things you feel when you're going down a mountain, mm-hmm. and you're on your own. You're controlling yourself, and that was just. It's a great feeling. I always tell everybody that's never done it when they're young to go and try it, because it's a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. Talking too much.
No, that's fine. It's perfect. Yeah, when I was younger, I went on a black, like younger than I, like now, and I just went straight down because I didn't know. Yeah.
On the black?
You can ask Dad, yeah. And I just like went straight down and was like terrified.
But you're still on, and he said you still ski.
Oh, I still ski, yes. Yeah. But I don't go on the experts.
You don't
anymore.
Do the boards.
No. He keeps trying to make me, but I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, he told me that. But maybe you're like, Have you ever gotten on the board and tried it?
Being
recorded now, right?
It is, but it's okay. We can just have a conversation. It's fine. no, I was last year. I tried snowboarding because I just wanted to try it, and
uncomfortable.
It was different.
Yeah,
it's very different. and I got Thomas to help me, actually, which was very nice of him, mm-hmm. and because he learned later in life, so it was like easier, you know, because like Blakeney and Chandler learned when they were younger. That's what they do. And so I was like, oh, I'll get Thomas because he learned later and he'll know that I'm not used to this. And it helped. I did fine. I still want to keep it up and try and get better. Like, I didn't go on any of the intermediate. I stayed on the easiest whatever. And it still was rocky, but...
Well, I surfboarded in Hawaii. Probably 58 years ago. I did it, but it was terrible. And so I don't even try the snowboarding because, oh, and there's what do they call the, and it's not water skiing, but there's those boards that the water skiers turn that way too. I tried that once and I'm burr.
It's a completely different balance.
It's a different balance.
Yeah, you have to shift everything
and
you know.
And your body thing is always like I'm bending now.
Yeah.
But I have to have my feet, both my feet. Like I don't care if they're like this, the skis,
mm-hmm.
or out here. Oh, mm-hmm. I have to have my toes
forward.
And my feet pointing in the direction I'm going.
Yeah.
If they're this way and I'm going that
you.
Way, I'm down.
Yeah, it's weird.
So if I was to ever ski, which I haven't now in 5 years, and I'm old again because I'm too old. If I broke a bone, I'd be 90 before it healed if I lived that long. So I'm not ever going to do it again. But I love that. I love the feeling, and I love that sport. I'm going to say not more than baseball, but it is equal.
Mm-hmm.
And I played 9 years of basketball and won, played on a city. We won city championship in Houston, which is a big town and a lot of schools, and we won city. And there's only me and one other man that's still alive that played on that winning team. And I see him the second Tuesday of every month and have for 15 years now. So.
So you keep in touch with people.
Hmm?
You keep in touch with people, the people that you
want
to.
Oh, I meet with 20 or 25 people I went to high school with, yeah, that same Tuesday. Yeah, some girls that I dated and some always wanted to and never did. And they're married now and I'm married now, but we still see each other at a Mexican food restaurant and talk about planning our next reunion. We've had reunions at least every 3 years since I graduated in 1961. I've never missed a reunion. I've been to every one of them. So yes, it's very good seeing, and I see these people because even in your class now at your age, y'all have never experienced, and I don't think you ever will or would experience the relationships that we had back in those years earlier, because the whole world was a different place.
Mm-hmm.
I have found, and I'm going to say, I've never asked you or talked to you about this, but I've talked to many other boys and girls your age and younger. And I don't know that it happens in college, but in high school these days, the seniors that are getting ready to graduate, like yourself, don't want to have too much to do with the lower class. You know, they don't socialize with them, and there's bullying going on now too, which we never had bullying back then. It was just a different world then, and especially in a big city like Houston, we were all close. It was like one class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, and at the sports events, the whole school would come, you know, and at social events, we had dances back then at city parks and the basketball courts at the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And students from the freshman class, the sophomore class, because, freshman was ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10th, 11th, and 12th was sophomore, junior, and senior. Well, the sophomore, junior, and senior were high school. And girls and boys from all three classes would come to these dances on Friday night. And everybody would dance with everybody. You know, there was no attitudes or, you know.
Yeah, seniors now have a bit of a superiority complex.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten that from people I've talked to, and then I've actually seen it on a few occasions where I've gone to a volleyball game, and some of the seniors on the teams. There may be a sophomore or a junior that is good enough to play on that senior team or on the A team, if you want to call it that. and they don't really get along. I mean, they play well out on the court, but they don't get along that well. I think that's sad. But so, yes, I keep in touch with people like that because I was close to them then, and I'm close to them now. And I want to remain close to them as long as I'm alive.
Yeah, I feel like relationships were different.
Hmm?
Relationships, like, have just changed over time. Like, how we talk to people and hang out with people.
Yeah.
And, like, dating is very different now.
I know. I know that, too.
What was dating like when you were a teenager?
What was dating like when I was a teenager? Well, I had a high school sweetheart, actually.
That was your first love?
Huh?
Is it your first love?
I'm going to say yes. She was my first real, I think, my first real love.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten to see her. Well, when I went to college, we graduated the same year. When I went to college, she came to the same college that I did. And we saw each other. And in fact, I probably wouldn't have gotten in. Well, I mean, I had the scholarship offered to me, but I still had to go and sign up and register for all the classes. And back then, you couldn't do it on the computer. You know, and we had to go in the gym, and they had tables set everywhere with teachers, and who knows who those people were. And they were asked what you wanted to major in and minor in, and then they would tell you what courses you needed to take to get a major and a degree in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Every table had a line with 75 to 100 students trying to get signed up for school, for college.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never experienced that. It drove me crazy. And I was ready to turn around and come back home. And she made me stay and said, here, I will help you. And whenever I told her, she knew what I wanted to major in, and whenever I told her what courses I was told I needed, she seemed to know where the table was for that, and she helped me go there. And so I got signed up. And then about right towards the end of the first semester, she and I don't really know what happened, but we separated and we split up. And all these years, I've seen her at the reunions.
Mm-hmm.
I met someone else later on in life and got married and had that woman and myself had your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't make it after a long while.
Mm-hmm.
But I still saw this high school sweetheart, and she remarried and had children. And I was so happy to hear how happy she was and what a great man she married. And and then he died of a heart attack. And I took her out to lunch a couple of times, asked her, I kept in touch with her and took her out to lunch. And we were close, we were friends, of course, but because I was still married and I didn't have any intentions of doing anything or changing that, but for any reason, but we were close. And then she was at the last reunion I went to, and I saw her, and she looked, she had some health issues, and she looked really bad. Later, I heard she was in the hospital, and I went up to see her, and when I first went to see her, they had her under. She was totally, she didn't even know I was there.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, I went back because another girlfriend of hers and a friend of mine told me she was awake. And I went up and saw her and talked to her. And we talked about old times and laughed and joked a little bit. And then it came up to close to our next reunion, and she died she went back in the hospital and died about a month maybe before the reunion. And she had a half-sister that I knew when we were dating in high school. And I went to her viewing, and I went to the celebration that they had for her, and also went to her burial. Mm-hmm. And while I was at the celebration, I saw her half-sister again, who I didn't even recognize because she was like 5 or 6 years old when I first saw her, and now she's grown and has kids of her own. And she recognized me and came up to me and put her arms around me and hugged me and called me by name. And then all of a sudden her name came to me, and we talked for a long time. And anyway, I had a high school sweetheart that I was very close to. And I'll have to say, there are times when I still think back and think about her, because I think more than just a sweetheart, we were best friends, and the best of friends. I don't think I could have had a better opposite sex friend, a female friend. She was just, and not just me, she was a wonderful person. She was the lead baton twirler at the football game. She could twirl two batons and throw them up and turn around and catch them behind her back. And very well liked, and I was lucky to be liked in school too. So we were like the high school perfect pair, you know. And so yeah, I've had some good times, and I never forget them. Sorry to be so long.
Yeah, come to the end. So. You taught me, you don't know this, but you taught me this, that hugs are very important and that you should hug people all the time. And I hug a lot of people because of you. And are there any other life lessons or advice you think you've learned over the years, or you just want to give me?
Advice?
Yeah, they're just lessons to live by.
Knowing you like I know you, knowing you like I think I might know you, and there again repeating that I'm not around you near as much as I would like to be, as well as your sisters and my daughter and your dad, Ben. What little bit I know, and I say little bit because of that reason, I've never been around y'all month to month or year to year, but the times I am here and what I see, and I take a lot in. You don't know that, but I study and what I see and what I've heard and what I notice on my own. In my opinion, you don't need any advice. I can't express. I feel very strongly, and have, of course, always, about Blake, your sister, and Chandler, your other sister, and you. But since they are as grown as they are, and your older sister is married now, and Chandler is probably going to be someday, and you're still the youngin' of the group and just going to be graduating from high school. And again, repeating, knowing what I have witnessed over the years that I have seen you, I don't think you're ever going to have any real problems with anything that you want to do, or anyone that you might want to find someday and spend your life with. I think they will be the luckiest, hopefully the luckiest man that has ever lived. And in my opinion, he would be the luckiest, but I hope that you feel that way also. And again, that subject on hugging, that was kind of that's a personal thing of mine, because I see people that I've known for all these years, sometimes by accident, at a restaurant or a picture show or whatever, and they recognize me and I recognize them, and I'll sort of walk towards them to greet them and say hello and maybe give them a hug, and they just turn their heads and walk away. And we were close friends in school, but yet I go to a country town and have for 43 years now, that my best friend that I've mentioned to you earlier is responsible for the showing me the town and guiding me and let me experience this town and the people that you run into there. And after all these years, I know half of the town people that have the stores and the men who own the dance halls that I go there for to dance. And I go up there once a year still just to see them, because when I go up there and see them, they come up to me and we hug each other, and it's like we've known each other all our lives. And I value that very much. But when I see someone else that I always cared about, and for some reason they don't even speak, then it upsets me. And it's the reason why I made the statement to you earlier this visit, that you don't know this because you can't, but I know it because I've been here all these years, and the world is just a different place now. It's not just Houston, Texas. It's throughout the whole United States, and not just the United States. This whole world is not... Houston is not a happy place to be anymore. It was wonderful. I'm so glad I was born and raised when I was, because Houston used to be a really nice place. You could go anywhere. There was no bullying in the schools, mm-hmm. No smoking, anything, no drugs, no guns. It was a great time to be born and living in. And I'm not saying this is not a great time for you, because I think your friends that you do choose and have are probably just as good and wonderful as you are, and that's who you choose to associate with. But then there are always those out there that you don't know what's going on with them. And I'm just, so back, I guess back to your question, I don't have any doubts about you professionally or socially. I think you will just be as wonderful as I find you. So yes, your friends that are close to you, I know you love them, and I know they definitely most likely love you, but still, don't just go up and smile and joke with them or whatever. Go up and throw your arms around them and give them a hug.
Okay, thank you.
And later on, if it's a man that you find, well, you can hug him too and then give him a big old kiss.
All right, Grandpa. Well, yeah. Thank you for talking with me. Thank you for talking with me. I had a very nice time.
Is that?
That's all we got time. We've been speaking for about 45 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry. Some of that I didn't feel I could answer in just a yes or a no. Or
I didn't want a yes or no. I wanted stories.
I know there's a lot more that I wouldn't mind telling you,
mm-hmm.
But maybe next time we don't have to do it as an interview. I'll just have a nice talk like this with you and tell you some things that make me who I am, and you can tell me some things that's going on with you, because Susie and I are always interested.
Sounds like a plan.
She loves you as much as I do. Oh, Not quite as much, but...
Wow, throwing her under the bus.
But I'll tell her I said that.
I won't. Okay.